We have arrived to Celebration Sunday, replete with flowers, just kidding, and ice cream. Ice cream. Did I catch anyone's attention with that? No? There's no better way to celebrate than ice cream, as far as I'm concerned, and yet I very rarely eat ice cream. How many people eat ice cream on a weekly basis? Wow, you guys are awesome. Yeah, me, it's like once a year and this is it, so it's very exciting for me. And the truth of it is, what does it mean to celebrate? And why would today, why should we today celebrate? And it's going to be different from all of us, but I'd love to hear. What for you guys is a reason to celebrate this time of year? An end of a great worship year. I can't even get the words out. It is the end of the year. Green grass, yes.
What is so rare as a day in June?
A day in June. What is so rare as a day in June? George.
No snow for at least 3 months.
No snow for at least 3 months. Woo! No more turtlenecks and wool socks. Right. Bird song.
Maine.
Maine? Maine.
Spring so late in coming has exploded all around us.
Yeah, the spring has exploded all around us, that is for sure. Anything else to celebrate?
Flag Day.
Father's Day. Birthday. Is it your birthday? It's not your birthday today, is it, Brian?
Tomorrow.
Yay! Yay for all the birthdays, right? Okay. This morning, we are also celebrating all the work that's been done by the many committees of First Parish. How many people have done a ton of work this year? Yeah, no kidding, right? Let us begin with the Landscape Committee, who you have probably noticed are here in force, with flowers, with story and song. The Landscape Committee is only one of the many committees of First Parish that keeps us watered, fed, trimmed just right, so that we remain healthy. This morning, I'd like us to celebrate all of the energy and commitment of the members and friends who have worked so hard in support of First Parish. What I'm going to do is something very exciting, at least to me. I will call a committee, stand up. If you're on that committee, remain standing if you're able. If you're on another committee I call, raise an appendage, like an arm, or two arms, or a leg, I would stop there. So as I'd like to do this, you know, you could also raise a finger if you want. If you're on more than three, we need to talk. So, but let's start with landscape. Please stand if you're on the Landscape Committee. How about the choir? Please stand if you're on the choir. You're in the choir. Community and Hospitality Committee, stand if you're on the Community and Hospitality Committee. The Living Our Faith Team, stand if you're on the Living Our Faith Team. The Pastoral Associates Group, please stand if you're on the Pastoral Associates. Music Support Group. Religious Exploration Committee. Welcoming Congregation Committee. Women's Alliance. Worship Associates Group, Finance Committee, Stewardship Committee, Investment Committee, Buildings and Grounds Committee. Stand up, Bruce. Yes. Landscape Committee. We've already done you. Board of Trustees. Committee on Ministry. Nominating Committee. Communications Task Force. Okay. If you've donated anything at all to the work of Farish Parish, stand up, raise both your hands, and go like this. Woo! We're done. Sit down. Oh, the DRE search team. Oh, my gosh. Stand up, boys. Girls, I'm sorry. This is a huge undertaking right now. huge undertaking right now. So what I wanted you to notice is how many of us are standing up, right? We're all standing up. And that's because we're all committed to the work of First Parish and to one another. It's not just First Parish that's important. It's this group of people, right?
And I've been immensely in my mind a member of this church ever since. But even though I haven't stood up on any committees, but I really feel strongly connected.
Yep. Well, no doubt. I see you. So, and you know, the other thing that's important is that we also, everybody that comes to visit, we engage them and welcome them. And I know that all of you have participated in this as well. It's all part of First Parish. So you may wonder, Celebration Sunday, okay, we get that, but why flowers? Why flowers? Flowers are at all of the celebrations we engage in as humankind. Think about it. Even at Christmas, we drag a tree in, right? Everything has to do with flowers. Because I think that they remind us of life, birth. They remind us of color. You know, they remind us and they bring us joy because, frankly, we survived through another winter. And this one in particular was some kind of rough. I didn't think the snow would be gone until August, truly. And all I want to do is say, thank the great goddess that cold, the ice, the snow are all finally behind us, at least for a time. And the flowers in all of their glory have arrived yet again. I am personally drawn to flowers because if we take the time to consider the flowers, there is an amazing analogy held within them. So, like, what is the analogy? Last year on this Sunday, I spoke about Buddha's flower sermon. Does anybody remember that? And how a simple act of twirling a flower unleashed a very complex and yet very simple truth. That we, humankind, are just like flowers. That we are connected, and yet we believe, and we think that we are separate and vastly different. Now, if we look at this table, we see flowers, right? Flowers. And yet they all look different. They all smell different. They all respond differently in their environment. But yet they're all flowers. Very similar to people. We believe that we are different. And yes, we may look different from one another. We may speak differently from one another, behave differently, live differently. But we really all are pretty much the same. We might even want some of the same types of things in our lives, like ice cream or a safe home. Or food on the table, or a warm, restful summer without a care in the world. What are we willing to do to ensure that this is possible? We celebrate Flower Communion because it's a way for us to realize our first and seventh Unitarian Universalist principles. We may not look alike or think alike, and yet ultimately we can love alike. Human beings are interconnected. We are flowers on the same family tree. Therefore, it is our calling to treat one another with care and respect. We, like the flowers, are independent and yet connected, and we need one another. We call that interdependent. And with this understanding that all human beings and all beings in general are interdependent, our ultimate goal should be to make the world a better place for all. As we begin to settle into the possibility that snow is not going to fall tomorrow, and it might actually be summer, I personally thought that we should just slow it all down. We're not running from the car to the house, to the car to the store, to the car to the gym, to the car to work, to the car to the car. You get what I'm saying, right? We're not running. We can slow it down. We have a bit more time to think deeper, to think a little slower. For me, I've had the same thought every June since I was 16. When I hit this point in the year, same thought every June. As many of you know, I spent my summers on the St. Lawrence River, in boats and swimming and fishing. I even named my dogs after islands in the St. Lawrence River, Stoven Island and Cedar. There are over 1,000 islands in the mighty St. Lawrence. It was the summer of 1976, I was 16. In the middle of the night, on June 23rd, the tank barge NEPCO 140 grounded near the eastern end of Wellesley Island, releasing approximately 3,000 gallons of number 6 grade oil. I was on the island. Over the following 3 days, the oil spread 85 miles downstream and contaminated more than 300 miles of island and mainland shore. That oil was coming right at us, and there was little that we could do to prepare. Our small piece of island paradise was in danger. We dragged yellow booms out, placed them everywhere. We hoped that the black toxic sludge could be stopped and that many species of bird, herons, like just stunning birds, fish and mammals that depended on the river would survive. In reality, the amount of impact and devastation could not be measured. It was stunning. The cleanup was said to have lasted more than 16 weeks and cost more than $8 million. I was at the river that summer and worked side by side with cleanup crews up to my elbows in oil. And let me tell you, it was nasty work. And the scars from the oil lasted a lot longer than 16 weeks. Oil remained on the rocks and altered in some ways beyond any cleanup could resolve the fragile ecosystem. The marshes were never quite the same. And the wildlife truly did suffer, like unbelievably. One thing that humankind might be able to learn from our mistakes would be to not do this again. But we don't, and the oil just keeps spilling. From the Gulf Coast to Alaska to the California coast, which just faced a big spill this last month. As long as we rely on oil, we will have such disasters. The same is true of fracking, I hate to say it, for natural gas. I just think it's a bad idea. It is June, and yet again, I am reminded about what it takes to be a good citizen of the world. I'm reminded of all the people in need who faced disasters this year, from the snow dumped on New England and the collapsing roofs, to the earthquakes in Nepal, flooding in Texas, hurricanes and cyclones and avalanches. And I think about all the people who have had their lives changed in unimaginable ways as a result. I have to admit that it is hard for me to chill out in the summer knowing that people are struggling to survive in our world. That the reality that I live with after I tried and endeavored to clean up after a smallish disaster, what that felt like to me, knowing that people were out there feeling that right now. The truth is, all these years later, 39 years to be exact, I will travel back to the river as I do every single summer. And the oil lines are still there. They're still there. Maybe a little bit fainter, maybe with some lichen growing over them, but they're still there. These events change our world and the people's lives, and not just for weeks or months, but for generations. I think of the people in Nepal after the earth quaked underneath them this year. Many are still, right now, living outside, because their homes were destroyed, and monsoon season officially starts this week. The status of the Nepalese people, as of last week, the government of Nepal confirmed over 500,000 houses were destroyed, 8,700 people were killed by the earthquakes, and 2.8 million people are in need of humanitarian assistance, many of them living outdoors in unsanitary conditions. 864,000 of those people are in hard-to-reach areas and need immediate assistance. How many people have been to Nepal? Here is a reality check about how long people need assistance when communities face such devastation. The people of Haiti, do you remember that? 2010. They're still struggling to recover. Many are still living in temporary housing. New Orleans, devastated by the Hurricane Katrina and the levee crushing in 2005, they're still rebuilding down into Ward 9. And honestly, many of the people that got out of there on buses were too poor to ever make it back to their homes, which aren't there. They still are living in places like Texas. Think of the earthquake and the resulting tsunami in Japan in 2011. The seepage of radiation is still affecting the lives of the people in that affected area. And actually, that radiation is spreading out across the ocean right to our west coast. I, for one, cannot move into the lazy days of summer without thinking about the people who have had no rest, or the animals who also struggle to survive, the industries and livelihoods of the many who have been affected by the tragedies and the disasters. I worry about the people in Haiti and Nepal and Japan and New Orleans and Texas and wonder what we can do to help. Because, of course, we must help, and we must continue to help. As we celebrate the end of the regular church year with ice cream, we begin to really enjoy the summer. I ask, what can we do to help our struggling sisters and brothers around this world? What can we do? Maybe if we each just do one thing, one little thing this summer. It doesn't even have to be a big thing. It could be sending a check. It could be anything to help some recovery somewhere in the world, because there's a lot of need. Donate money, send supplies. Things might actually have a chance of getting just a little bit better. We've done so much already, but there's still a need. And I think about those poor people who are going to be living in mud, who probably feel forgotten, but they're not. Maybe we could each join an advocacy group or, you know, something like Greenpeace or the UU Service Committee or Operation USA. Make a phone call, write a letter, even go deeper and travel to an affected area, donate time on the ground, help to build or clean up. I did this after Hurricane Katrina, and it was a life-altering experience for the youth who went with me and for myself. There is so much need in our world in so many different ways that we can actually help. I invite each one of us to consider those who are afflicted this summer and do just one thing. One thing. This morning, I could have preached any message to you, one of celebration and flowers, something light, something deep, something funny. But if you want to know what I'm really thinking, what I'm truly thinking and feeling as I imagine my time off, is this. I think about the volunteers in June of 1976, those people who were not directly affected, and yet they came to help. They continue to inspire me to think beyond my own comfort, my own relaxation, to look for ways to give back. The truth is that we may not all think alike, or look alike, or even speak the same language, but we are all a part of the same bouquet, bringing richness to one another and to our world in our diversity. And we each need one another's help at times to truly blossom. My friends, thank you for all the work that you have done this year, for all that you've given, for how many ways you've shown up for First Parish, for one another. You have been so generous with how you have shared your time, your energy, and your resources, and you've made a huge difference. As we all scamper, and I think of that word scamper, off to ice cream and to begin to enjoy these summer days, I ask you to please be safe. Take time to consider and smell the flowers. Walk through the woods or along the beach. Boat. Spend time with loved ones. Barbecue. Watch bees, birds, or butterflies, or all of them. Take the time to realize and celebrate just how connected we truly, truly are. For this I pray. Blessed be. Amen. The Unitarian Universalist Flower Communion, which is what we're going to do next, is a celebration that was originated in 1923 by a Reverend Dr. Norbert Chopek, founder of the modern Unitarian movement in Czechoslovakia. On the last Sunday before the summer recess of the Unitarian Church in Prague, all the children and adults participated in this colorful ritual, which gives concrete expression to the humanity-affirming principles of our liberal faith. The thing I want to share about Chopek is that when the Nazis took control of Prague in 1940, they found his gospel of inherent worth and beauty of every human person to be, as Nazi courts recorded, too dangerous to the Reich for him to be allowed to live. Dr. Chopek was sent to Dachau, where he was killed the next year during the Nazi, what they call a Nazi medical experiment. This gentleman suffered a cruel death, but his message of human hope and decency lives on through his flower communion, which is widely celebrated today. It is a noble and meaning-filled ritual we are about to recreate. And the service includes the original prayers of Dr. Chopek to help us remember the principles and dreams for which he died. He gave his life. So let us begin with prayer. Infinite Spirit of Life, we ask thy blessing on these, thy messengers of fellowship and love. May they remind us amid diversities of knowledge and of gifts to be one in desire and affection and devotion to the holy will. May they also remind us of the value of comradeship, of doing and sharing alike. May we cherish friendship as one of thy most precious gifts. May we not let awareness of another's talents discourage us or sully our relationship, but may we realize that whatever we can do, great or small, the efforts of all of us are needed to do thy work in this world. Amen.